WBYT.
At long last,
we have returned. We are here.
For maybe the final time. Who knows? You have any quick thoughts? By the way, this is episode 24 of Radio BYT. We took 2 weeks off. We went to vacation 1 week. And then the second week, we came back and we were like, I still haven't recovered from vacation.
We needed extra R&R. So
here we are. You have any quick thoughts? You are Jess.
I am. I'm just loving all the cuddles I'm getting right now from Wally.
Wally.
He's just giving me a big puppy hug right now. But no, that's my quick thought.
Oh. Okay.
I do have a quick thought about our dog.
Yes.
So I was retrieving something from my mom's pool, like the deep end of the pool right near her ladder.
Yes.
And my foot slipped and I fell in the pool. And I got this like really, really huge, probably like the size of a watermelon bruise on the side of my leg.
You did.
it turned like black. It looked really nasty.
There is allegedly video footage of it.
No, it's not on camera. Thank God.
I would have sent that to America's Funniest Home Videos yesterday.
But it was quite humorous, but it hurt like heck. But the
Did
bruises,
it hurt your humerus?
The bruise is healing. But back to Wally.
Yes.
So I fell in and Oliver swims. He loves swimming in the pool.
Yep.
He literally jumped in my mom's pool and pulled me out by my bathing suit. He like tried to rescue me. He like thought I was really, really hurt. So I came home and said to Mitch, I don't deserve him. He's the best dog ever. So Oliver tried to save my life. He's best.
Well, that's a tough act to follow. My. My quick thought is, I had several quick thoughts, I feel like, throughout the past 2 weeks. I was like, yeah, I'll use that for a quick thought. And then I didn't write any of them down, and I forgot all of them.
So you forgot them.
The only one that I can remember is that right before we left for vacation, I saw The Lion King. The live-action, quote-unquote, Lion King. And it was fine. Right. It wasn't great. It wasn't good. But what was great about it was the visual effects. Mm-hmm. So then you dive into it a little bit more. And the director of the movie was Jon Favreau. And he kind of came out and said that there's not a problem with overuse of CGI in movies these days. Because everybody says, oh, they use too much CGI. Oh, they relied too much on CGI. Right. But he came out and said there's not a problem with that. There's a problem with directors knowing how to use CGI.
Mm-hmm.
And this is coming from the guy that's now done The Lion King. He did The Jungle Book. He did the first two Iron Men. So, like, he knows how to use CGI, and I agree with him.
Well, I think it's an art. Like, it's just like anything else. You need to know how to use it and use it properly. And
yes.
I think it is a talent.
So, and I go, you go back to Marvel and DC, and I'm not going to get upset.
Are you sure?
Yes. But I will tell you that I've had many a conversation since we've been back about Warner Brothers and their CGI use and whatever visual effects company they use. But I firmly believe, and I stand by, they do not know how to use CGI. They don't know how to make it look real. And they don't know how to master it by the time the movie comes out. Because it's looked the same since 2002. Since the first Lord of the Rings, since the first Harry Potter, to the Justice League. They've all looked the same.
If this wasn't our last podcast, it's going to be now with all the attacks we're going to get.
I'm just saying, they haven't progressed at all. So figure it out, send them to CGI school and do that because I consume media and I'd like it to look better from you guys, okay?
No offense.
Anything else before we dive into the agenda?
Let's dive in.
Okay, we got a couple bits of Marvel news. So, according to We Got This Covered, they think Chris Evans may return as Captain America.
Ooh.
Now, we saw Endgame.
Yeah.
And he was very old at the end of Endgame. So, Disney apparently wants to explore the time where Captain America went back and replaced the stones in Endgame and then lived that normal life with Peggy Carter.
That would be interesting.
They want to make that a movie. Well, they want to make it something.
Or a series.
So, this is far from official, but Evans is reportedly considering it.
Of course and he is.
The Russos, who directed Endgame, said he's not done with Endgame. Mm-hmm. He's not done with Captain America yet. So, would you be intrigued by that?
I think we would. I think I would. Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah, maybe let's do it. Yeah. More Peggy Carter, the better.
Bring it on. You love you some Peggy.
I do.
Peggy.
You know what? Actually, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is doing their final season 7.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing some time travel. And they're doing some weird things. They brought back the OG Coulson.
Oh, interesting.
But they're doing some weird things about it. But one of the things they're doing is going back to the Agent Carter period.
Oh, you're in love.
Just saying. Yeah. So, but would you want it to be, would you want this Captain America movie thing to be a movie, or would you want it to be a series on Disney Plus?
I kind of feel like it makes more sense being a series because it's such a long period of time.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a long gap to put in a movie, and you'd be skipping around a lot. So I think a series would make more sense, essentially.
So I'm torn a little bit because I think you could either make it you could probably make it a trilogy if you wanted to.
Yeah,
in terms of movies where you really, really hone in on certain things. But I think that I'm really consumed by The Boys right now on Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your Amazon Prime membership.
You're welcome.
And that's 8 episodes long. And I think about it, right? The Infinity Gauntlet, you got, I don't know, Saturday Math says 5 to 6 stones right there. So you could kind of cover an episode in each of the stones.
Yeah.
Then you could cover an episode with the Red Skull. Then you could cover an episode of him chilling with Peggy Carter, or maybe 2 episodes. So you could do a solid 8 episode arc series on Disney Plus. And that seems to be kind of what they're doing with their OG characters now.
Yeah.
With Loki, with what's his name? Falcon and Winter Soldier and WandaVision and all that stuff. They're giving them series. Hawkeye, another one. So make it a series. It's better than that. It's better that way.
Agreed.
Deadpool? You like Deadpool?
I think he's funny.
Disney doesn't know what to do with Deadpool.
I wouldn't know what to do with him either.
So they want to continue Deadpool, obviously, but specifically, they don't know whether or not a Deadpool movie should be rated PG-13 or rated R.
R.
Specifically, they have concerns that whether or not Deadpool would be able to flow seamlessly from a rated R solo outing to the PG-13 MCU films.
No. Deadpool is for the adult population that appreciates nasty humor. And I feel like when you tone Ryan Reynolds down,
you can't do it.
You can't, like, it's not going to make sense.
I love Ryan Reynolds so much.
I know you
do. Can we do a brief aside? All right, so Hobbs and Shaw came out recently, right? Last week, week ago, 2 weeks ago maybe, depending on when you're listening to this. Could be months ago, years even. Hobbs and Shaw came out, right? I don't know if Ryan Reynolds was in it or not, but I saw a photo tweeted out by, I think it was The Rock or whatever, and it was Kevin Hart sitting there, had a button up on, and he was like holding out his collar, and it had like The Rock's fake tattoo on him.
Yep.
And then it was The Rock doing the same thing with his real tattoo. And then all of a sudden, Ryan Reynolds doing the same thing with the fake Rock tattoo.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, I love this guy so much.
He's just so funny. Like, just the tweets sometimes between him and his wife, even, like, they're just hysterical. Like, him and Blake Lively are so funny.
Speaking of which, we're going to go off the books real quick. How do you feel about Gossip Girl being revived?
I wasn't a Gossip Girl watcher. Yeah, I didn't watch Gossip Girl. Same but cast, too. I know a lot of people that did watch it, very excited for it.
But wasn't allegedly, I didn't watch it either, but wasn't the Gossip Girl a guy?
I have no idea.
I think it was a guy.
I don't know. Yeah, I was never into it. I should watch it. Maybe I'd like it.
So, Deadpool. Mm-hmm. So, Disney doesn't know whether it can cross over. They want to do a Deadpool Spider-Man movie because there's a huge comic book arc with Deadpool
and Spider-Man. I just feel like that's so... it wouldn't work because he's so like inappropriate. Would. And then like Spider-Man is like so innocent because he's technically a child still. I don't know. I just don't see them intertwining.
I feel like it could work. Like, you can still make the, like, off-the-cuff, fourth-wall-breaking humor mm-hmm. in a less derogatory way. My concern would be, like, all right, I take my nephew to go see this Spider-Man-Deadpool crossover, and then he goes, oh, I like Deadpool. Where can I see more of him? And then he goes and watches, like, Deadpool 1 or yeah. Deadpool 2, and it's, like, disgusting.
Exactly. You know? I just feel like it's hard to intertwine something like that because... it's just a whole different world.
Right. I feel like it could work for that movie, but then there'd be negative press and negative repercussions when they go back after that movie and watch the other Deadpools. Yeah. And what would Disney say? Like, oh, that was before the merger. Like, that was before we got Fox, you know? So, I don't know. I think it could work, but you got to be very careful.
Agreed.
Want to talk about some drama? You got upset about this drama.
Oh, yes.
Let's talk about some childless adult drama.
So,
I'll let you take
a little background on this. Woman went to Disney with her child. She was waiting in line for a pretzel. The line was too long.
Though. They're very good there.
Yeah. The line was too long. She got mad. There was apparently a millennial in front of her.
Damn millennial.
Wearing quote unquote provocative, I'm not even going to say the word. She used the bad S word, provocative shorts, and went on a Twitter rant because of it, saying that childless millennials should be banned from Disney and they're basically the bane to her existence. And she went on this big long rant. And you know, our childless millennial Disney population went wild. There's yes. t-shirts, there's hats, there's rants, there's this, that, and the other thing, and we were certainly a part of that. So we were in Disney when this all happened.
Oh, we were. Without our children, without the children without that don't exist
children,
yet.
Children, yep. And and full disclosure, we are childless millennials and probably the biggest Disney freaks may or may not know. So this kind of hit home for us because Disney... because we don't have children, it's our happy place, I guess. I don't know how else to describe it, but it's where Mitch and I got engaged. It's where our first real vacation was. It's where we got married, and it's where we celebrate a lot of life's happy moments. Oh, wait a minute,
because if you listen to certain people, all right, I got upset about this when it wasn't even that post. Like, I didn't get upset about the post. I didn't even read the post. I didn't get upset. You tweeted something or you posted something out and I didn't care to look at it then. It was when we got back from vacation and I turned on Toucher and Rich from 98.5 mm-hmm. The Sports Hub and they were talking about it and he was calling people psychos for getting married in Disney. And I said, I don't feel like I'm a psycho and I got married in Disney. So
and quite honestly, like... from a bride standpoint, if you like Disney, and like we didn't have a fairy tale like castle, horse-drawn carriage wedding. No, we got married on a boardwalk. It was like a beachy setting. It wasn't like a quote unquote Disney wedding.
But what I loved about our wedding, and not to like go way off the rails or anything, but what I loved about our wedding is that we were very much not. You wouldn't feel like you were in Disney, but like all you had to do was turn around and you saw Epcot.
Yeah.
You know?
I think our wedding was more or less like traditional with Disney touches. Like we did it because that's what we wanted and it worked for us. And I don't think people who even have the full-fledged Cinderella's castle Disney wedding is Psycho.
Fred Toucher.
But I digress. I just think that it's ridiculous to to single out millennials. I think people with young children and strollers should be banned from Disney.
What about you Generation Xers who never had kids and you still go and you're 60 years old at this point? You know?
I don't know. I feel like when Walt created Disney, he wanted a place for everybody. There's a quote out there that says he created a place for everyone to feel like a child or have that being.
You know what I love about it too, right? So like recently, I think you sent me the message of it today. It was, they were showing Jack Skellington's, like the first look at Jack Skellington's Boo-to-You event thing for Halloween. And the headline read, Boo-to-You or Jack Skellington's nighttime Halloween show, first look. Kids with, adults without kids allowed in. And I was like, oh, snap. People are still bitter about that.
But I think Disney also, like, they market to our generation.
Oh, yeah.
That we recently went, shameless plug, to the Villains Party. There's a link in our YouTube if you want to check it out. But that catered to our generation. It started at midnight or 10 o'clock. It went to 2 a.m. And it was just a half empty park that you could eat and enjoy the rides.
We ate.
It was so much fun. Like, and that's not something that's going to be targeted to a 3, 4, 5 year old.
So here's what aggravates me about this whole thing though. When I really start to like think about it, right? Think about like the new lands that are, they're opening in Hollywood. Don't even look at the Magic Kingdom. In Hollywood Studios, think about the new lands that they're opening. Mm-hmm. They just opened Toy Story Land. When did the first Toy Story movie come out?
Millennial generation.
It was like 95.
Yep.
95.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the kid in 2019 is the one that grew up on Toy Story? No.
So Star Wars. When did that come out?
Exactly.
The 1970s.
That was the next thing. They're opening Galaxy's Edge in like 2 weeks. And
they have a bar.
Yeah, who is that? Yeah, who is... Oh my God, they have a bar. Oh, how, like, will kids get their drinks? They won't be able to drink that. They don't have an ID that's valid. You know,
Disney is not for... It is for children, but it's also for adults. It's for everybody.
It's
anybody
for the people
that
have
to go.
The money to go there. No offense to the kids. They don't work. They don't have the money. The people that have the money are the parents. And the parents are millennials now.
Yep.
Sorry. Them's the breaks. You're old now, lady. I don't know what to tell you. But at the end of the day, like, the lands and all of the stuff in those parks, yes, they may cater to kids. It may be kid-friendly. It may be kid-centric. But ultimately, it's what the millennials grew up on.
Mm-hmm.
So they have just as much a right to be there as you do, as your four-year-old son or whatever age. And guess what? Everybody's got to wait for the Mickey pretzel. Okay? It doesn't
it's
matter
not
if
just
you're four.
You.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if you're four. It doesn't matter if you're 25. You're waiting for the Mickey pretzel. And it's even worse in the Magic Kingdom because there really isn't access to booze. So you have to wait and you're going to be in the hot sun. And you're just going to be miserable. And at least if you're a kid, you're like, oh, look at that thing that just flew by me. As an adult without the kid, though, you're, oh, I got this kid that's like freaking out about this Mickey balloon that just got away. And you have to deal with everything else.
But I also think Disney caters to millennials. Yeah. If you're, we're big on Instagram. Like, we obviously have a business that functions around Disney and around the Disney parks. So we understand it. But Disney features these millennial Instagrams in their feeds.
Oh,
the merchandise they're making, like the spirit jerseys, that's a millennial thing. All the millennial pink ears, like they're truly marketing all these picture walls that people are taking pictures in front of, or their food, these Mickey donuts. That they're doing these things to have their brand out on Instagram
I don't
for
think,
the millennials. Like, we're the ones taking the pictures and putting their brand out there.
I don't think the Generation Xers are the ones that are buying the Spirit jerseys for their 80-pound lab. Like, no. The 80-pound chocolate exactly. lab. They're not doing that. They're not buying the Mickey ears for their to bring home for their black lab. Like, no.
So, sorry not sorry, lady. You're going to have to wait in line behind the girl in the provocative shorts and wait for your Mickey pretzel.
What do you feel about the I think it was the New York Post, I'm not sure, saying that adults, namely millennials, have an unhealthy relationship with Disney and spending so much of their time and money on corporate, that corporation that is meant for kids?
Sorry, New York Times, you don't got it like we do.
Sorry, you don't appreciate joy.
I'm pretty sure, in our case, we own our own home, we own our own cars. Like, it's not like we're living in a one-bedroom apartment filled with Mickey balloons, trying to relive our childhood.
Yeah, no, you know what aggravates... All right, so for me, I am a millennial. I do not have a child. I own stock in Disney. I have an annual pass to Disney. And I have DVC, the Disney Vacation Club, for Disney. And the reason why I'm doing that is not necessarily for myself. It's so that, in 10 years when I have a kid who's 5 or whatever it is and is ready to go, they can just go to Disney and enjoy it the way that Disney should be enjoyed.
And I agree with that. A lot of
it's long-term moves.
A lot of the things that Mitch and I have done are for our future children. We didn't get DVC that's going to last for another 50 years just for us. We might not be around.
Right.
But we're guaranteeing our children, our future children, lifetimes of vacations in Disney. Or we can take that money, rent out our DVC points, and go on other amazing vacations.
Hashtag business moves. Hashtag entrepreneur.
So take that, New York Times. I think no matter what makes you happy, that's where you spend your money on. If you like video games, if you like cars, if you like music, guitars, you're going to spend your money on those things.
I spend a lot of money.
But I feel like for somebody to judge where other people's money is going to, people spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on concerts every year. They chase Lady Gaga around the country.
At the end of the day, the Mickey pretzel is going to cost the same whether it comes from a childless millennial or it comes from an adult with 7 kids. They may just sell more to the adult with 7 kids, but...
It doesn't even matter. You're going to wait in Disney. It's not the childless millennial's fault. It's an all-inclusive place.
If that millennial was not in the park, you'd still be waiting 20 minutes for that Mickey pretzel. Anyway.
Whatever.
I digress.
Rant over.
You want to talk about something that we enjoyed when we did it, but we haven't been back since?
See.
The Disney Cruise Line.
Yes.
They've got a second private island coming.
I'm kind of excited for this. It's in the Bahamas.
Yes. So in March, the Disney Cruise Line purchased Lighthouse Point, which is 190 acres of land in the Bahamas. The purchase is now being petitioned on change.org because that's what people do now.
Yep. Ridiculous.
Because it does, quote unquote, does not make sense.
Well, it makes sense for Disney.
It makes sense for me. I'll go.
So they're petitioning it because they're worried about the coral reef and the cruise ships going over
the coral reef.
The cruise ships going over the... No, it is a big deal, but I don't think... Disney as a company does so much to protect the environment and wildlife. We just watched a video on them releasing sea turtles into the ocean.
Have you ever been on Living with the Land? They care, okay?
No, but they really truly do invest a lot of money back into the environment. I know, they were so cute.
I want a little baby turtle.
No, they bite.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But it's a business, and they bought the land, and they're going to go through with it, so...
Yeah, so
unfortunately, that's just what happens.
Once open, the island would increase ports of call to Nassau by 30% to 40%.
And the good thing about them opening this island, it's going to bring more business to the Bahamas because Nassau is really struggling right now. Even though they're a top contender in the cruise stops, people don't like going there, so a lot of people stay on the boat. I read. And we've done this before when we went to Nassau. We didn't even get off the boat when we went over there.
I think it was sick, though.
Well, but it's it's one of those ports that you're like, oh, been there, done that.
Well, all right. That yes and no, because let me tell you something. I believe it was the port before that in Mexico, Grand Cayman, where we got off of the boat and we got followed around by some guy.
Yeah, we definitely did.
So and you lost my hat, and I'll never forget it. And that was about 9 years ago.
It blew off my head, first of all, because it was windy. Yeah. But whatever. So I think just in general for the Bohemian economy, am I saying that right? Bohemian? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. The
Bermuda. Ja, man.
The Bahama economy.
Jamaican? No, it's not Jamaica. It's Bahamas. No.
Bahama
is
economy.
Is it Bohemian? Is that where Bohemian Rhapsody came from?
I don't know. I could be misspeaking. Very confused. But for the economy, it's a good thing because yes, it will generate a lot of income for them. And I think Castaway Cay was like my favorite port to visit.
All right. Real talk though, when I read like the article that I got that bullet point for the agenda about, the only thing I could think, and this is really sad, do you think they'll have a 5K on there too?
So Castaway Cay, every cruise, when you go to the island, they have like a fun run 5K. Yeah. And Mitch
likes to participate. I had the KT tape on and everything. Oh, I was ready.
You're a hot mess. Maybe. I don't know. You'll have to email and ask them.
I want to know. If that's the case, I'm booking the first excursion out there.
Maybe it will be a 10K.
Disney has also announced that this is different. This has nothing to do with the cruise line. We're done with that. I'm excited about that. But
good transition.
It's whatever. Segue. I'm rusty. I'm a little rusty. Disney has announced that Tomorrowland Speedway, Space Mountain, Monsters, Inc., and the Mad Tea Party will all be given holiday overlays this holiday season. Now, I'm very glad we did not do this episode last week. Because if we had talked about this, I feel like it wouldn't be as important as if we are this week. Because in the past 7 days, we've now booked another trip to Disney World.
We're so bad. Oh, my goodness gracious.
And we will be attending this party.
The addiction, the childless millennial addiction is real.
So the problem is, right, guys, you get annual passes and you're like, should we just go again?
Like we need to get our money's worth.
Is it that big of a deal? Like, should we just go? You may as well. Frontier's pretty cheap. Like,
all we're paying for is food, so yeah. It kind of makes sense. Do we have the PTO?
Oh, yeah. I already had the week off, so I didn't have to do anything.
Yeah, you were fine, and I'm fine. I have the vacation time, yeah. So it doesn't matter.
Tomorrowland Speedway will see guests cruise through a festive highway filled with holiday lights.
That's probably the one and only time I'll ride that ride.
Oh, we're going on it. Let's be honest with ourselves. Monsters, Inc. will be given a holiday theme to their comedy show.
I kind of love that. I love that show to begin with, so it's going to be
I feel like
so
there's
going to
be a funny gingerbread joke in there somewhere. Yeah, I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to involve gingerbread. And if that is the case, I will record it.
Yes.
And it will be on the vlog.
Yeah, we'll definitely record the overlays for you guys.
And then Space Mountain will send guests on a trippy jaunt through the cosmos set to holiday music.
So fun. I love it. I'm so excited.
So, obviously, you're excited for the theme. Are you excited to go? Because we're literally hitting, like, every party.
Yeah.
We're hitting everything. This is gross. We're so bad.
It is. Well, just to, like, kind of lay it out for you guys, just so you know what to expect for our vlogs, I'm not going to give specific dates because I just don't feel comfortable with the world knowing when we're going to be traveling. But September, we will be in Nashville. Yes. And then literally a week later, we will be in Florida.
Yes.
And then October, Mitch will be down in Florida again for all the Halloween fun.
Solo.
Yep, he's doing a guys trip down there. And then in November, we will be down there again for an entire week.
And then January, the calendar flips, and I get all that vacation back. So,
we have been debating doing in December.
Yeah, we haven't decided yet. So we will see. But I'm not sure.
I think we definitely have some other things planned out for 2020.
Yeah, we're looking to go to Hawaii in 2020.
Yeah, Hawaii is like a definite. Mitch is turning 30 next year, so I think we definitely need to celebrate. So We have some things up our sleeve. Lots of traveling.
So we'll talk about our, we just got back from a trip. I want to talk about it in a second. But before we dive into that, I want to ask you this. I added this to the agenda yesterday and you have not seen it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good question. I saw an article about it. Has Bob Iger done more for Disney than Walt Disney himself?
No. That's ridiculous.
Is it though?
He's robbed Walt Disney more than Walt Disney robbed himself.
Hear me out.
No.
Since coming on in 2005, Bob Iger is responsible for the acquisition of Pixar films. So Toy Story and like all the other good films. Marvel. Lucasfilms. And now Fox.
No. Because without Walt, none of this would exist, okay. And he wouldn't be making how many million dollars? Do we want to rehash this again?
Hear me out here.
No.
Okay? Nope. This equals billions from the box office.
It doesn't matter. Okay.
Pixar has earned $11 billion since being acquired. Marvel has earned $18.2 billion since being acquired.
I'm getting so mad.
these acquisitions has also had an impact on the parks, with Star Wars, Marvel, Lucasfilms, and Pixar having a big present in
this question
in
is
each Disney park.
Garbage.
Iger plans to step down once his contract expires in 2021. What do you think his legacy is?
We've given him enough money. Get the
what
heck out.
What do you think his legacy is?
Ugh. I'm so like, I was such an Iger fan before that whole conversation about a salary came up. And now I'm like anti-Iger, but no, I think he's great. He's done He's done so much for Disney and he's really made us billions of dollars and it's amazing and he's wonderful. But you can't demote the guy who created the brand. Like, no.
And also I feel like to say that it's all Iger's, like all credit to Iger for all those things.
Let's be honest,
wrong.
How many minions are working under him?
Exactly.
That really do all the grunge work. He's just the face of it.
Because Star Tours was a thing well before Iger became, you know, the head guy at Disney. And I believe Indiana Jones was as well. So.
But to say he's responsible.
Those feet were already in the door.
He's not quote unquote responsible. Hundreds of other people are responsible.
Exactly.
It's like the president of the United States. He's responsible for doing all these things, but it's really the people that work under him. It's just like anything else. Bye, Iger. Step down.
Wow.
Happy retirement.
I thought that was going to go a different way.
No.
I give him credit, though. He's done a lot. But ultimately, he doesn't have a job if Walt Disney didn't exist. So it's like it's the chicken or the egg. And in this case, it's the egg.
Well, that's just a whole nother debate because we don't know how it got there. So just kind of appeared.
Let's dive over to Universal for a second.
Let's do it. Maybe he'll go over there. You think they'll hire him?
A lot of Imagineers don't like working for Disney's Imagineering and then go over to Universal Creative. Just saying.
I wonder why.
From what I've heard, I've done a lot of research on this actually, and from what I've heard, Disney's Imagineering doesn't really allow you to create, and Universal Creative allows you to do to kind of like
that.
Work. Yeah, exactly. Kind of work off ideas that you have, whereas Disney kind of like forces you to do what they want you to do. If that makes sense.
That makes sense. So they can't really be creative as they would elect to be.
It's like a dictatorship compared to a democracy, but I'm not sure if it's true, so don't quote me on it.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
Maybe if our people, because we have people now,
we have
insiders, reach out to us and let us know if you know any information. We won't tell anybody you told us, but we'd love to know.
Yeah, I'd love to know. Universal has officially announced a fourth park.
Dun, 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 dun.
Now, I don't want to go too crazy into it because it's been about 2 weeks since it's been announced. And I feel like I myself, who doesn't listen to a ton of podcasts, has heard nothing but Epic Universe.
Yeah.
Universal's Epic Universe. Universal's Epic Universe. So I'm not going to go too crazy. First question is, how do you feel about the name? Universal's Epic Universe.
It's pretty epic.
There's a lot of universe things going on
there,
right? Like it's Universal's Epic Universe of universes.
I think like... like Islands of Adventure was like,
that was a good name.
It had a theme. Like there was a theme there. And Universal Studios like has a theme. It's all studio related, like movies. Mm-hmm. Epic Universe, I'm thinking it's all going to be like Alter Universe. Like, mm-hmm. Well, that's what I'm thinking.
I like that. My first thing that I liked, though, so they had a little press conference. I think there were four media outlets, and then there were like the mayor of Orlando and like I think the Congress.
Buddy.
Like, everybody. Yeah, right. Everybody was there. But my personal favorite, I believe it was Tom Williams, and I can't remember off the top of my head, but I believe it was him. And he came out and said, well, a universe is bigger than a world. And I said, whoa.
Buzzing up.
So I said, shots fired. Right. Wow.
Disney's like, okay, we need a fifth gate right now.
Seriously.
Where's your ideas?
So the new area, because they bought all this land, the new area will feature a new park, hotel, and food options. The current rumored lands in the park are a classic Monsters Land. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about a classic Monsters Land?
Great. Like, I don't know.
Allegedly, one of the rides is going to be the same ride concept that they had for Van Helsing before Harry Potter, which is the same ride concept as Harry Potter.
I don't like getting excited about things I'm not 100% sure on. Like, I rather get excited about things that right. I know are actually coming. So, cool. A Monsters Land sounds interesting, but we don't know what's going into I can't get super excited.
So, based off the concept art, like, these lands are happening. It's just a matter of, like, what's going in them.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Like, great, it's coming, but I'm not excited because I don't know what's actually in there yet.
So, they have a Classic Monsters, a Nintendo Land, Fantastic Beasts, and How to Train Your Dragon / DreamWorks, whatever. They also have a giant hub.
Can I just say something really fast?
Sure.
I feel bad for the people who have to work in like the Nintendo Land because I feel like that music's going to get real old real fast. Like it's going to drive them crazy.
I think it depends. So in the Nintendo Land, the rumored things are a Mario Kart ride, mm-hmm. and it's going to be a multi-level land, which is like...
But still, the music that's going on in the background, it's going to be like...
But the way that the land is positioned, if you look at the concept art, and I don't expect anyone to look at the concept art, the beginning piece of the land... First of all, each land only has one in and one out. How do you feel about one in and one out?
Interesting.
I think that stinks.
So it's going to be like how getting into Diagon Alley is.
But they have multiple. Yeah, exactly. Actually, it'll be exactly like that.
It works for that. And that houses a lot of people.
But that's one land.
Yeah.
Think about four.
Well, that's how they're doing it.
Fair enough. So each land will have one in, one out. When you go in to the Nintendo Land, the first piece of it is Mario. So you have a Mario Kart ride, and then you have a Yoshi ride. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it's a Donkey Kong ride. So, like, you go through the Mario section, and then you're in a Donkey Kong section.
You just ignored my question, though. The noise is still going to drive people crazy.
Yes, it's going to stink. But it is what it is. So you go in, and then Donkey Kong ride is going to be, like, the mine cart ride from like the classic level from Donkey Kong Country. And I'm excited for that. But so that's the Nintendo section. And yes, the music's going to stink. So don't spend too much time in there. Then they're going to do a How to Train Your Dragon section, which allegedly has 8 rides. And this is the first one that it's going to have like theme park rides.
And this is all hearsay, y'all.
Like, no, it's not. It's the concept art. So...
it's all hearsay right now. Right,
but it's going to have like amusement park rides themed to the land. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
No. That's like a cop-out.
Then the Fantastic Beast section is either going to be Fantastic Beasts or it's going to be like Wizarding World Ministry of Magic. And I really hope they go with Wizarding World Ministry of Magic.
I like never saw any of these like movies or anything, so
You saw the first Fantastic Beasts.
I didn't. I don't think so.
I saw it twice. Once with you, my mom.
Well,
and my
aunt. I don't remember it, so. Or How to Train a Dragon. Don't
I
even
never
know.
See, I've never seen either of those.
I just don't know how I'm going to feel about it. I'm sure it will be neat, but.
Is there anything specifically that you would like to see from a fourth park at Universal?
No.
That's a good thing, because that really kind of leads me into the next piece of our agenda. We just got back from a 10-day Universal/Disney Florida Orlando trip. We had not traveled in about a year and a half.
To these parks. We've definitely traveled, just not there.
You have.
You have too.
Where have I gone?
I don't know.
Exactly.
Maybe I've just been traveling without you.
So, we just got back from the trip. Did you like it?
I enjoyed the trip, yes.
So, I liked the trip, but I left with a very sour taste in my mouth from Universal.
You did, yeah. And you kind of touched on, well, we both kind of touched on that on the podcast.
On the blog, the vlog.
Oh, vlog, excuse me.
It really goes back to Men in Black Alien Attack when we were checking our bag, mm-hmm. quote unquote bag, it wasn't really a bag, into the lockers, because you have to do that on the rides. And there was this bucket thing, cart, whatever, that just said, pour liquids here. And it stunk.
So the reason why they had this cart is because a lot of people get refillable mugs. Mm-hmm. And there's like drink stations.
Did you do research on this?
No, I'm telling the people.
That's probably what it is.
There's drink stations all throughout the parks, but when you have these refillable mugs, you can't lay them on their sides or they're going to spill throughout the lockers.
Right.
So they put these pour carts in, so you would pour your beverage out before putting your drink in the locker so it wouldn't spill everywhere. Because I'm assuming what was happening was people were putting these drinks in, they were spilling, they were probably dripping down to other people's belongings. Yeah, so it was creating a mess. So I understand why they did it. But with all the money Universal has, why don't you just put a sink in there?
No, like, no. You know, with all the money, no. Why don't we just abandon this foolish locker policy that they have?
Amen.
And then you go, just allow them on the ride. Put a little strap thing, put your baggie here.
I don't understand why they can't do what Disney has done with the bags. Like, I carry a satchel. It's almost like a fanny pack that hangs on my side in the parks. It's just for like sunglasses and fans and whatnot, like small stuff. And I feel as though, like, why can't I have that on my body on Men in Black? Like,
yeah, exactly.
It just doesn't make sense.
I think I get it on like Rip Ride Rocket or the Incredible
Hulk. Or like the
Hulk.
Harry Potter ride. Like, I understand. Like, some of the more aggressive rides.
No, have a thing like on the bottom. I think they even intended to do that.
No, I understand why they don't do it on that ride, because
not Escape from Gringotts. That's just like the Mummy. Just have a thing in the front.
Oh, yeah. For Gringotts, absolutely.
You know how much of a giant... the worst part is the Harry Potter lands, because those lands are the busiest lands in the parks.
Yeah.
And it's just a giant cluster when you try to get into
like
the...
It's always, like, chaotic to try to, like...
And it stresses me out.
Yeah, it is really stressful. Like, putting your bag in a locker and then retrieving your bag after. And then the lockers don't always work.
Yeah.
And I didn't know... So we hadn't been in a while. I wasn't aware that you had to keep your park ticket with you to reopen some of the lockers, because it used to just be a fingerprint system.
Yep.
So the first ride we went on was Hagrid's, and I left the park ticket in the locker. So thankfully, like, it was easy. We just told them the locker number and they opened it for us. But...
You know, God forbid you get the hardo that's like, oh, is the how do I know that's your locker?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. Like, so, like, just the whole system it's stressful and it's overwhelming. And I just think there's a better way of doing it. And
by not doing it at all, except for the rides that go upside down. But I digress. You said we rode Hagrid's. How did you like Hagrid's?
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was an awesome ride.
That ride was so
It was so
fun.
Cool. I really want to ride it again, but I'm just not sure that I want to go back to Universal anytime soon, because just the experience we had there was just not the greatest.
I'm like, good. I'm going in October for Halloween Horror Nights, and I'm debating if I want to get a ticket to go to the parks that day. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure.
Yeah.
We'll have to see.
It wasn't like a terrible experience, like,
no,
for anything specific. It just didn't have that like magic theme park like feel that we're kind of were used to prior. I don't know. We just left with kind of a bad taste in our mouths, and I can't really pinpoint why.
Feel like it stunk. Like that poor liquids here thing, that smell just like permeated the whole area, like the whole land, the whole park, really. I just felt like it had an odor in the locker section, and I feel like the lockers are really unnecessary in some rides, and it's stupid. Like, you don't go upside down in the Mummy. Just have a little baggy thing in the front, mm-hmm. or put your bag below your legs.
Especially for people with smaller bags. Like, maybe the backpacks, yes, have lockers for those people.
Right.
But, like, the point that you can't bring any loose articles on these rides, it's just crazy.
Right. And I just feel like the fact that you have to put your stuff in a locker, like, people put all their stuff in a locker and it ends up stinking. And that's why there's, like, this, it's the odor that really haggard me. It, like, took me out of it.
Yeah.
You know? But we also went to Disney, who does not do the locker thing.
Yep.
And it was, I would say, much more enjoyable.
I think we had an awesome time in Disney. It was crowded, and it was very, very crowded. Probably one of the more crowded times we've ever been to Disney. And it was very hot. It was probably like high 90s.
So you would say don't go to Disney in the dead of summer if you don't have to?
I personally would not go.
Yes.
I would have, no.
So we went for 10 days, and I feel like for like 7 of them, it was okay.
Yeah, the weather wasn't bad like the first portion of the trip. The last couple days, it was really, really hot.
Yes.
Like, kind of like, I really don't want to even do anything hot.
Yeah. All right. Specifically, I remember we were in Hollywood Studios, and it was like the sun was beating down on us, and I was just sweat.
Yeah.
And I don't like that at all, you know? So
we typically visit Disney like September through January, February. We even go like March, April, mm-hmm. and the weather is pretty mild. Like, it's not super hot. It's like high 80s.
Yeah.
But not as much humidity. So it was just a different experience, but it was still a good one. It was just very warm and crowded.
This was our first experience taking in Toy Story Land.
Oh my gosh. You were like a kid.
Yeah.
You loved it so much.
So, hey, childless millennial mom, like, I de-aged myself about 25 years when I went into Toy Story Land.
Just like the look on his face, it was like pure joy. Like, he was in his element. Like, it was so good. Nice.
It was just, the land is so well done. The idea of the land that you go into Andy's backyard, there's footprints.
Mm-hmm. Andy's footprints,
There's footprint all around. Like, you got the toys talking to each other. And, like, Toy Story Mania is not a new ride. We didn't even ride, did we?
Yeah, we rode it.
We rode it once. Yep. Yeah, I remember that now. We only rode it once. We didn't even do Swirling Saucers.
Nope.
And I feel like we've reached the point with our Disney travel that we don't really want to ride the rides as much as we just want to be in the land.
Yeah, I think now, because we've gone so much, the rides are just a bonus. But Mitch and I really go to Disney to, like, enjoy it, to, you know, meet up with friends that we don't see all the time.
Right.
And experience Disney. We go for the food. They have some amazing food, like a lot of great places to eat. But I think it's just the nostalgia of being in Disney. And we went to Toy Story Land at night for the first time. Yes. And just, like, seeing it all lit up, it was just so nice.
Let me tell you something. If you're going to Toy Story Land, you need to do it at night. You need to focus yourself and just hit it at night, because Slinky Dog is going to be the least amount of weight at like 8:45.
That's what we did.
Thank you, Scott.
Yeah, pro tip. Like, But we went in there. We got right in line for Slinky Dog. It was like right before park closed. Yep. And I think we waited like a half hour, if that.
Yeah.
It was a really quick line. And we got
the back row.
Yep, and we got the very back. So it was like the coolest first Slinky Dog experience.
We saw our ride picture after that, and I was just like cheek to cheek grinning.
Oh my gosh. I'll post that on Instagram. It will probably, once the vlog is up, so the week our date night vlog comes up, check our Instagram because I'll post it then, and you'll see like the pure joy on Mitch's face. We were so happy.
So with that though, we went down there. We had originally gotten regular park tickets. I want to explain this because we never did it on the vlog. We did something called ticket bridging.
Yep.
Where you take your park ticket and apply it to the cost of an annual pass.
So basically what you do is you buy your park ticket through any provider, so like AAA or through the actual Disney parks. When you get to Disney, you have to use your ticket on the first day.
Yeah.
So you go into Magic Kingdom or wherever you're going that day. As you come out, go to guest relations and they will take the ticket you purchased from wherever you purchased it from and use those funds to go to an annual pass. So what we ended up doing was upgrading to their premier annual. I don't know.
It was like, I think it's top platinum. Tier. It's top tier.
Yep.
We had to do the most expensive one, and it's because the first day that we were there, we went to a water park. So we had to get the water parks and more option.
But it was only, I think, $100 more, period. And if we go to a water park one more time throughout our annual pass,
maybe we'll go in whenever.
Yeah, maybe we will. So as long as we go one more time, it will be worth it.
Yeah.
But we found like the discounts, the free parking, the photo the pass photos. Is worth
even the food. The
price. Yeah.
Even the merchandise. Like we bought some stuff for ourselves while we were down there, and
you get
we
20% saved like off.
A good amount of money.
Yeah, like I bought a necklace that was I think what like $75.
You ended up getting it for about $60.
Yeah.
And then I got a shirt. And I got it. I don't remember what it was, but I got it. And we got the dog stuff. Like,
yeah. So I think with all the discounts you acquire throughout the year you have your AP, mm-hmm. it really starts to pay off itself. So the AP we got, I want to say it was like $1,200, then minus our park ticket expense. So we just paid the remainder of that. So if you guys are planning on going to Disney at least twice a year, it's pretty much worth it. Do the math, but it's a good option if you're going at least two times in that calendar year.
Yeah.
So it was worth it for us.
And I feel like this whole trip as a whole, like marks it's vacation season. Cause now we've got so much stuff coming down the pipeline that we're like never going to be home.
Yeah. Well, and I think for a lot of the people that watch us, it will be great because you'll get to see like everything for the holiday season. So we're going to do Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. We're going to do Mickey's Christmas Party when we're down there, Food and Wine Festival. So you guys will get to see a lot of the stuff that Disney is really known for and the stuff that we truly enjoy doing. So definitely keep a lookout for our vlogs because you're going to see a lot of like Disney stuff in the upcoming months.
Which we are going to hone down on our vlogs. We're going to kind of pump those out. So we are going to move those to a 2-week format. I don't want to necessarily say that the podcast is going to fall in the back burner, but it's kind of going to fall in the back burner.
Yeah. So we've really been debating, guys, and we'd love your feedback too if you actively listen to us, what you rather see. So we've been getting a really good response from our vlog. So we are like, I don't want to say concentrating our efforts that way, but that's, it's a lot, it's time consuming to do the vlog. So if people really enjoy them and like them as much as like we're getting the feedback that people like them, we obviously want to concentrate our efforts into something where people enjoy what we're producing. So we're kind of looking for feedback. In your opinion, should we continue doing these podcasts? Do you enjoy them? Or yeah. would you rather see more of the vlogs? Have you even watched the vlogs? So definitely give us feedback on that, because we're kind of debating on what we're doing with our podcast in the future, if it's worth continuing or not.
Yeah, because we had done a poll on all of our social media, and it was about a 65-35 split on people that wanted more vlogs, 65%, and then 35% said, no, just keep the podcast.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a toss-up, but we're still kind of weighing it right now. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. So, no, this definitely isn't our last episode, this one.
Yes.
We'll definitely give you guys an update, but please send us your feedback on what you want to see or hear more from us on. And obviously we're traveling a lot, so that makes it a little bit trickier too.
Right. At the very least, that these podcasts will probably not necessarily fall into a weekly format mm-hmm. going forward. It may be bi-weekly, like it may be monthly, thing. It may be something like that, but we are kind of going to...
We're just going to play with it for a little bit and see what happens.
So...
With that being said,
if you'd like to see more from us, you can go to buyyourterms.com. It was fun diving back into the saddle. It's been a while. Yeah. But that being said, my name is Mitch.
I am Jess.
And we will see you next time.
Bye.